Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Good morning. I'm Lisa Dent. Thank you so much for listening to WGN. I'm filling in for Bob Surratt. Bob is on vacation this week. So many people lining up with questions for Dr. Kevin Most. It's sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. I'll tell you before we get Dr. Most on the air. Well, good morning, Dr. Most. I know you can't really comment on the high profile patients right now at Northwestern, but last night there were prayer circles and vigils for the Reverend Jesse Jackson and his wife Jacqueline, who have been married 57 years, and both of them are being treated at Northwestern. Not inside information, very public, for COVID-19. And they said that she's just getting some oxygen. They didn't really say much about Jesse. They said that he was double vaccinated, and that's what you call a breakthrough case, right, Doc?
Yeah, absolutely, Lisa. You know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Jackson family, and hopefully everything will come out well there. But, yeah, the breakthrough case, that's an unusual breakthrough case, because that's a breakthrough case that ended up with hospitalization. We're seeing a lot of breakthrough cases that actually just end up with minor illness or moderate illness, but not hospitalized. So that's a little bit unusual.
Dr. Kevin Most is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Really glad you called us today, because people are already lined up with tons of questions. So let's just check in with Mark. He's in Oak Brook. And Mark, good morning. I know you had a question for Dr. Most. What is it?
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Most. My question is this. We keep hearing that the science is clear with regard to the safety of the vaccines. And so the question I have, and putting aside COVID as a potential answer, what are the long-term effects, negative effects of the vaccine? I mean, this question comes from, if there is no data, we haven't studied anything for that period of time, how can the science be clear? And I'll add one other thing to the question and allow you to respond, and I appreciate it. Every drug that has been removed by the FDA had been first approved by the FDA. And I know that that's a concern for people who are vaccine hesitant. It's not political. It's not, conspiracy. It's simply, we're saying that it's safe, but we don't have any long-term evidence that it's safe. How would you respond to that?
Sure, Mark. And your question is not an uncommon question. And I still go back to, let's talk about what a vaccine does. You know, a vaccine teaches our immune system what to look for, almost like natural immunity, right? We try to teach it that when you see this, you form an immune response. So if you look at the vaccinations that we're taking right now, or giving our children as, you know, months old, you know, measles, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, tetanus. I mean, it goes on and on. So we know that vaccines work and that vaccines are safe. The long-term effect of this vaccine, it shouldn't be any different than the long-term effect of any of the other vaccines that we are taking. And I will mention that we know a lot more about the long-term effects of COVID. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that are suffering from COVID, from long hauler syndrome. We have a clinic at Northwestern that is filled. We can't even get more patients in because of so many people have long-term effects from the disease itself. We've proven that vaccines work. We show that all the vaccine does is teach the body how to find illness and correct it and stop it from spreading. Certainly, a lot of people are concerned about the mRNA. It has nothing to do with DNA. It's not going to get into your DNA. All it is a messenger that was used to teach the body how to find COVID if it got exposed. And is it working? Absolutely. Look at the hospitalizations right now. 99.5% of individuals hospitalized right now are unvaccinated.
This is 720 WGN. I'm Lisa Dent in for Bob Surratt. I always love having Dr. Kevin Most on because he's fearless in answering your questions. We're getting a lot of text messages, and then we're going to go to Pam. She's got a question for you. But it seems like the theme of a lot of the text messages, Doc, is I'm going to Cabo 2 weeks before I get my COVID booster. Should I get it in just 7 months? I'm going to Texas on September 16th. I was fully vaccinated with Pfizer. I'm 57. Should I get the booster early? I'm going on a cruise in November. Should I get the booster early? And everything I have heard is like the medical industry saying, please don't jump the line, right?
Yeah, you know, we're still trying to make sure that we get the booster into those immunocompromised people quickly. So that's definitely the first line. And then after that, we'll certainly look for those who have received it. And if you remember, the people that have received it 8 months ago are going to be seniors and healthcare workers. So certainly we don't want people jumping the line because they're going to go on vacation that may take a vaccine from a senior where we know this is so protective for them. So I would say be careful. Look at your timing, and if it's really close, then go right ahead, because we're not going to be, this is going to be pretty much on the honor system right now for those who are immunocompromised.
I have a brother-in-law who is what I would consider a long-haul COVID person, you know, was hospitalized, was very ill, and went into atrial fib, and now they believe it might have damaged his heart valve, and he might be looking at surgery. Is that common, or do you think that's something that... I mean, there was no history of atrial fib prior to that. So have you seen that where there's actual damage to the heart?
Oh, absolutely. You know, this everyone thinks that this disease is just a little upper respiratory infection, but yet we know it can actually impact the heart, it can impact the kidneys, it definitely impacts the lungs. So when you talk about the long haulers, those individuals who sometimes weren't even hospitalized, but now are chronically short of breath or need oxygen, like your brother, inflammation of his heart that impacted the electrical activity of his heart. So this is not a disease like it's an influenza and let's just not worry about it. So certainly our concern is about the long haulers and getting everybody protected as quickly as possible.
And he got it the same time my son got it and my nephew got it, and that was at my mother's funeral. And we tried to, you know, keep it private, but it's what happens when families get together. I got a question from 847 via text. It says, I have a question about when to receive a flu shot, senior dosage, before getting a booster COVID vaccination. My booster would be scheduled for October 5th. When should I get my flu shot?
Yeah, I would get that flu shot probably October 21st or so, you know, a couple, 2 to 3 weeks after you got your second booster. It'll be an interesting year for influenza. We saw such low numbers last year. Hopefully everyone understands that we saw low numbers because we had a high vaccination rate and we were doing all the mitigating factors. We don't want to lax and slip down and see influenza rear its ugly head this fall and winter. So please, by the end of October, please make sure you get your vaccine for influenza. Right now is early. We haven't seen any cases, so I wouldn't rush to get it today. But certainly by, you know, I always look at it by trick or treat. If you haven't been vaccinated by Halloween, please make sure you are.
It is 6:52. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. Let's jump over and talk to Pam. She's been waiting for quite some time. Thank you for doing that, Pam. Thank you for listening. And what's your question for Dr. Most?
Okay, thank you, Dr. Most. I was wondering, I know someone who's in their 30s who had caught, I think, the Delta variant. He had some mild symptoms. He got through it in a few weeks. But does your body build up any protective antibodies after there so that you don't catch it again, or you still can catch it again?
No, Pam, it's a great question, and it's a question that everyone has to understand. We certainly know that anytime anybody sees an infection, it is going to have a natural immune response. So it will notice it again. It will find it again by its own natural immunity. The problem with COVID is we had this spectrum of illness where some people were asymptomatic all the way to people were in the hospital. So the individual's response to the immune response to the virus really depends on how bad the infection was. So for your friend in the 30s with moderate disease, I would still say if he hasn't been vaccinated, get vaccinated, because we know that those who had COVID and then got vaccinated have a 10 times stronger immune response, which is outstanding.
And doctor, do you think there's going to be a point in the future where antibody tests are as prevalent as COVID tests, where we could predict what our antibodies are, or our healthcare providers could, and therefore we would get a booster or not get a booster?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to end up being more like influenza, where we'll get a booster each year. Antibody tests are okay, but they only show one picture. They show what's the circulating antibody. In other words, I draw your blood and I look for antibodies. Well, everyone has to remember, we have things called B cells and T cells, and those are our memory cells. Those are the cells that will see something and then start producing the antibody. So although someone's antibodies levels drop to a point where they're non-detectable, does not mean that they're still not protected. So Rita Wilson, probably everyone remembers that. Her antibody levels dropped. Well, if she were exposed to COVID, she would have these other amazing cells called B cells and T cells, which then say, oh, there it is, I remember that, and then they start producing antibodies. So the antibody level is great for an immediate check. But really, we're not even doing that because we know the vaccine is so effective.
As a doctor, as a man of science, does your head just want to explode when you read a headline about the horse dewormer and people thinking somehow that might be a way to treat COVID?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. That medication is used in humans as well as in horses. We use it for rosacea. We use it for a couple other things. But it certainly has been proven to not work. So I would say let's stay with the science. We know that remdesivir works. We know that monoclonal antibodies work. But besides that, we haven't found the magic bullet for this illness.
We got a text from 678 asking, is the booster the same strength as just getting a third shot?
It's an interesting question, and it is. It's just like getting one more shot. And the other question that a lot of people are having is, I got Pfizer. Do I need to get Pfizer again? Or I got Moderna. Should I stay with Moderna? There's a study out of Britain that shows that you can interact and switch. What the federal government's going to come out to say, I believe, is going to say, please stay with the name brand that you had. But if you get to a place where that's the only other option is to take the other, then go ahead. And then the other question a lot of people have is about J&J. Why aren't they talking about a booster for J&J? Everyone has to remember our first J&J shots were not until March. So we only have 5 months of data there, where we're looking at, you know, almost a year's worth of data for the other two vaccines.
And do you have a round of golf in your future, Doc? Or are you just going to be watching?
I wish I had a round of golf. No, I'm fortunate this week to be the medical director for the PGA Tour down here in Baltimore at Caves Valley, the BMW. You know, I was very fortunate to receive an Evans Scholarship from the Western Golf Association. So this is my one way to pay them back a little bit, to come down and volunteer. And fortunately, I'm licensed to practice in Maryland and North Carolina and Illinois. So it was a good fit. And it'll be a long week, but one way to give back. And it'll be fun.
That's a lovely way to give back. A quick piece of advice. We've got about 30 seconds. Someone's got an elderly relative who is 98 years old and refuses to be vaccinated. They're asking you, what could they say to that person to convince them?
You know what? I would say, let's try to get to 100 and blow out candles at 100. You know, this is an individual that wants to spend their final few years surrounded by family and friends, and the one way to do that is to make sure that you're as protected as possible. Nothing worse than your family saying, we can't be around you because we're afraid we're going to give you an illness that could lead to your demise. So, you know, I would say get vaccinated and share and embrace the family with the time, you know, the years you have left versus potentially being in isolation like many seniors were for the last year, which was devastating to their mental health as well as physical health.
Absolutely. Well, have a good day, and thank you so much for joining us this morning, Doctor.
You got it, Elise. We'll talk soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.